to
follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Kicking off hour three here of Follow the Money, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel in for the guys. And maybe I should call it, as a lot of people on social media have said when we preview this show coming up after ours, typically Follow the Money Moves makes sense. As JVT and I typically host from 11 to 1 Pacific, 2 to 4 Eastern weekdays here on VSiN right before Follow the Money gets underway. Still a lot more to get to here in this final hour coming up in 15 minutes. Nick Giffen of Action Network is going to join us, talk through the 68th running of the Great American Race, Daytona 500 coming at us this weekend. We will continue our MLB previews as well. The Colorado Rockies on deck today. NBA All-Star Weekend, best bets for the in-pocket plays, of course, at the end of the hour as well. You said we got an email, though, in the commercial break you wanted to hit?
Yes, it looks like Patrick Kelly at, this is not how it works, moneymoves at VSiN.com.
Yes.
There we go. Stormy, JVT, you guys are awesome. Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks, Patrick.
The Hockey 6-7 sweat was great. This wager made too much possible sense, especially listening to Money Moves and Follow the Money when I can. Really like the Knights, but I can see this happening. And he attaches a screenshot of a play, which is a parlay of the Oilers to win the Pacific and the Hornets to win the Southeast Division.
What's that payout? What are the odds? That's got to be pretty hefty, right?
What am I looking at here? 25 to pay out 812. I'm blind. 31 to 1.
Oh, yeah, nice. That's very nice. Because Edmonton, like we were talking about in the break, they are only a few points back of Vegas right now, who you, similar to the Lakers, have called fraudulent throughout the course of this year. You think they're a fake good team, which I can't really fault you on. Considering,
I was going to say, is anybody going to refute me?
The overtime losses have really bumped up the points numbers for them, and they weren't playing well recently. But Edmonton's right there in the division, so I can see that playing out that way. We do also, by the way, have the car video. So we were discussing earlier this report that apparently there's a restaurant in New York that is based for customers that want to go on dates with their AI companion or something like that, or like has a special area for them. I don't know, whatever. It's too much for me and my anti-AI brain. What else is too much for me is the self-driving vehicles. Like, I do not do well with them. Our boy JVT, while he was in Santa Clara doing all of his Super Bowl work.
Before we play this, you promised you cleaned up the audio, correct? Okay.
There might have been a beverage or two consumed. I think we cut it early before you get into the craziness.
All right, let's see it.
But JVT, he took a ride in, what do they call it? A Waymo.
Yeah.
This is crazy, dude.
For any questions, press the call support button to speak with a rider support agent.
That was...
We cut out the moment where I think I say at some point, I can't believe I lived to see this day.
Yeah. That looks terrifying.
It was kind of wild. I mean, the funny part was it was a total waste of, you know, gas and money, because I was only a mile away from where I was staying.
Oh, really?
It's just, there was one right there, and I really wanted to try it out. So yeah, we took it to see what was going on. Where we were staying was very walkable, but still, that was, it was an experience. I thought I was driving a little aggressively, so we'll see.
I was about to say, be honest, at any point, did you feel safe?
Yeah, I felt safe.
There's no way.
Yeah.
Except for when it said, make sure your seatbelt is buckled. And you said, I never unbuckled it.
That's car. Right. It was a good experience.
It just looks like the worst. For anyone who has ever seen the show Upload, you know what I'm talking about. But the very start of that show is a self-driving vehicle that gets reprogrammed to crash in a murder attempt of this person. And that is like... that's just the tip of the iceberg, potentially. Robots are just not good for me. I think that it's too much right now. I saw this teacher posting about he saw a student of his copy an answer and then put it in the AI platform to say, can you please rewrite this with normal grammatical and syntax errors of a high school student, and then copy and paste that answer into the thing. And it's just like, it's just too much.
It is.
All right.
On it's the future,
note,
though, dog.
We can give it. The future is, I'm not interested
future
in.
Future is now, old man.
We already have the sphere. That's the only futuristic thing I'm into, which I am going to tonight for the second time. I'm going to Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
Very excited about that.
I thought that was tomorrow.
No, it's today. It's Valentine's Day weekend. I didn't even actually finish this story to you yesterday because I was just in my head about the whole Valentine's Day thing, the way that you were peppering me with questions.
I wasn't peppering you with questions. I just believe that Valentine's Day is a corporatized holiday. That means absolutely nothing.
My husband had no interest in going to the Backstreet Boys with me, but I told him, I was like, even if you don't like the band, the Sphere is such an experience here in Vegas. This is one of my favorite concerts I've ever been to in my life, if not my favorite, because it is just so cool visually to see what they do with everything. And so I'm going with a couple friends for their birthdays. And because it was Valentine's Day weekend, that's why my husband is coming with me. Not because I asked him, but because he just innately felt like he should hang out with me over Valentine's. Mm. Isn't that nice? That was actually a nice thing that he did.
Sure.
It's a very expensive thing, but a nice thing, no less.
Very nice.
You ready to get into more basketball?
Sure. I'm ready to go.
Have you ever been to the Sphere?
No, I have not.
So that's why you're just poo-pooing on everything I have to say, because you haven't been to experience the glory. Very expensive, very fun, very worth it. That said, I know you just said you didn't have anything on St. Louis, Loyola Chicago. But I do. And Loyola Chicago, to Greg Peterson's point a little bit earlier on in the program, they are getting played here a bit, down from the 8.5 to 17.5. This Ramblers team, to me, though, is just... they're awful. If you've watched any of their basketball, it's bad. They've lost 10 of their last 11 games straight up, only even covering the spread in four of them. St. Louis, fresh off a win cover of a big number, laying 23 against LaSalle. They are a little hit and miss ATS, but still much better than the 7-4 ATS in their last 11. Joe Lunardi called them in his most recent bracketology an analytical unicorn. Third nationally in effective field goal percentage, second in three-point shooting, 91 points per game, one of the fastest paces in the country, best effective field percentage defense, they're rebounding at a top 11 rate. I'm not betting the spread here with St. Louis, but I do think because their offense and their rebounding is as good as it is, and they play at the pace that they do, even with a Ramblers team that plays at a slower pace, I think we're going to get points from the Billikens in this spot. So I was trying to look at some alternate angles. Their team total got bet up too high for me at 87.5, but their first half team total at 42.5, I think is pretty worthwhile, and it's only minus 105. Some recent results, including their win over LaSalle, Loyola Chicago trailed by, excluding their win over LaSalle, because that is a team that... the team that I just told you that the Billikens beat up on is the one team that Loyola Chicago has beat on this recent stretch of them playing terrible. They have trailed by 18 against Davidson in their most recent game at the half, given up 47, gave up 46 in the first half to VCU. St. Joseph's had a 51-27 first half lead. So that's kind of the angle that I'm playing on here, just the expectation that St. Louis can score and score early.
Makes sense to me. Like them. I like the note about them being as analytically sound as they are. They've been absolutely brilliant. In every single category you want them to be. So when they go to the NCAA tournament and lose early, I'm sure everybody will be like, see, analytics, they stink. But no, I'm down with this.
An analytical unicorn.
No, I mean, they're great. You listed off all the stats as to why. This is a team that if you were to build a basketball team on paper in terms of the shots they would take and the way that they would look, this is the team that would do it.
Okay, how about those UNLV Rebels out there in the Mountain West? They're in Boise, Idaho, taking on the Broncos. Boise State laying 11.5 at home, total 153.5. Can your boys, can your running Rebs cover the big number?
Seems like a big number on the surface. Some of the projections have this at 9, and this is a, I think what part of the inflation of this number is the revenge factor. UNLV, if you remember, played Boise out here. UNLV ended up having to go to overtime, gave up a late three-point shot to tie the game, but went on to beat Boise in OT. And this is the revenge spot. So I think you get the projection of what the score could be. A Boise State team that, since they lost this game to UNLV in overtime, has won 6 out of 7 games and has looked relatively solid doing it, just coming off of a big win on the road in the Pit to New Mexico. I think that this is a number that's probably a little too far out, just given the fact that we are sitting in a revenge situation for Boise. And you'll see this when you get these conference games, you get the rematches. Generally, you'll see the market kind of gravitate toward the teams that need revenge or lost the first matchup. I do think you're seeing some of that. So I'd actually lean a little bit toward UNLV. Say what you want about them. You look at the way that they can play. They've got some pretty decent guard play. They can score. Dre Gibbs Longhorn, their leading scorer right now, is absolutely electric, get into the basket, and there's not many guys that can stay in front of him. I think they're competent enough that they would stay inside of this number, but we'll see where it goes, because it's really not heading in any other direction but one, and that would be toward Boise State right now. Again, open 10, up to 11. We'll see if it gets a little bit higher, but I'd lean toward UNLV here. I think it'd be the spot for them.
Anywhere else in college basketball that you were looking today?
Today? No. I mean, I think we're pretty set for today.
Saturday, maybe?
Yeah, we can have time to really expand on what Saturday looks like as well, because we've hit a lot of these games. I'll say before we move to Saturday really quickly, I guess the other interesting matchup, because again, I don't know why. We know why, because Miami, Ohio has been playing so well. But we've watched a lot of MAC basketball today. And Akron and UMass is an interesting game, only because we've seen the market move in the Minutemen direction. Open 13.5, total of 160. Total's been bet up, but UMass getting a little bit of action here, down to about 12.5, 13, depending on where you look. We've seen them in spots like this, you know, perform and stay inside of the big number. Did it to Miami, Ohio. Maybe you'll be able to do it here, but interesting to see that UMass once again is getting some support here in Akron, getting bet down a bit.
Okay, looking ahead to tomorrow, and we will, like you said, hit on these a little bit more later, but some fun top 25 matchups coming up. Kansas at Iowa State being amongst that group. Kentucky, Florida, who I know you're invested in the futures market, and that's become a more and more popular play that's been brought up. Texas Tech at Arizona. Saturday's card looks to be kind of awesome on the surface.
Oh, I mean, it looks absolutely tremendous. You meant the Florida game is going to be at the top of the list, and you're talking about games that you really want to get into and watch, but there is a giant glut of games that you can look at here that you're going to be intrigued by. And that's just the ranked teams. I mean, Kansas on the road against Iowa State is going to be the top of the list. When you're looking at, again, we talked about revenge spots here, potentially. Iowa State maybe looking for a little bit of payback after what happened the first time around when they played Kansas, got absolutely smoked on the road against the Jayhawks.
Yeah, Duke-Clemson as well. We were talking about that look-ahead spot for Clemson against Virginia Tech the other day. That is the game that is on deck, and Duke's laying a pretty big number in it. By the way, as we talk about all of this college basketball, March Madness is going to be here before you know it. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you want to get in there. You get our guides for free as a part of it, so that's going to give you inside daily access to all the articles we do up at VSiN.com, the Opta AI projections, everything, in addition to getting this betting guide. You can get started today for just $9.99, 50% off with an annual subscription, VSiN.com/subscribe. We're going to step aside. Nick Giffen of Action Network going to join us next, talking all things Daytona 500 on Follow the Money.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Last week, the Super Bowl in the NFL. This week, the Super Bowl of stock car racing. As we welcome you back to Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. The 68th running of the Great American Race on deck this weekend, the Daytona 500. To help us break it all down, very excited to welcome in Nick Giffen on the Progressive Guest Line, NASCAR and predictive analyst over at Action Network, host of both the Running Hot and Stacking Denny's podcast. You can follow him on X at RotoDoc. Welcome in, Nick. How pumped are you for the weekend?
Oh, I'm so excited. NASCAR is back. And as a kid growing up in Virginia, North Carolina is the hotbed of NASCAR, right? That was what I watched growing up. So it's my favorite sport. And I'm excited that we get to have the Super Bowl of stock car racing right off the bat.
Yes. And before we get into some of the racers that you really like this weekend, some of the bets, for anybody who maybe hasn't bet motorsports in general before, is there anything that you can share, just a general rule of thumb that you have, advice you have for betting an event like this, the markets that are available? What can you give us?
Yeah, so there's a few different markets. Obviously, there's the outright or to win market, and that's betting on the driver to win the race. It's very difficult because almost every single driver of the 41 car field can win this race because of the style of racing we have here. So for a little bit of leeway, you could bet on them to finish in the top three or the top five or the top 10, kind of like in a golf tournament. Additionally, there are three manufacturers, Chevy, Ford, and Toyota. You could bet on a driver to finish as the top driver in his manufacturer, right? So there's 11 Toyota cars entered. You'd be betting on that driver to beat the other 10 Toyota cars. And there's head-to-head matchups, there's group matchups, there's props like the number of cautions over under, all sorts of markets. But the main thing to know about the Daytona 500 is chaos reigns supreme. Every driver wants to win the Daytona 500. They're going to push each other like crazy and all in one big pack from the draft. It could take out 20 cars in one wreck. So you do want to sprinkle some long shots in here because long shots do win the Daytona 500.
Okay, so that was kind of the question that I was going to ask. Let me ask a general question then about handicapping NASCAR before we get to the specifics of this race. Does it tend to be a top-heavy sport when you look at the betting odds for the other races outside of ones like this?
Absolutely, yeah. When you're outside of drafting track races, very top-heavy. The guys like Kyle Larson or William Byron, they'll be dominating a lot of these races. Your Denny Hamlins. So you'll naturally find them like anywhere from 3-1 to maybe 7-1 as the race favorite. Well, here the race favorite is double digits, right? 10-1 or 12-1 at some books is the race favorite. That just goes to show the level of chaos here.
All right, well, let's get into some of the plays then. Who is, I guess, your favorite driver that you've backed going into this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Ryan Preece of Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing to win the race. Odds are actually, funny enough, they're down right now because NASCAR is on track practicing for the Cup Series. But when they come back up, I've seen 25. I've seen even longer than 25-1 out there. My model has them just shy of 22-1 as fair value, meaning around 4.4%. win probability. And I like Priest because that RFK equipment that he is in, that Ford that he is in, they have been so strong. They push in the draft very well. If you can push really well in the draft, you can push other cars towards the front, which means you naturally go to the front with them. And then all you have to do is make one or two other passes to take the lead. And Ryan Preece has been very strong at super speedways. He had a second place finish one of the super speedways last year. So I look for him to do one spot better this year.
You know, I wanted to build on something because you mentioned it, your model. What are some of the important statistics in NASCAR that handicappers should be looking at? Where can you find them?
Yeah, NASCAR produces something every race called loop data statistics. And they have things like a driver rating. Think of it like passer rating or QB rating for NFL. There's laps led, fastest laps. So you can get all of these things. Those are kind of more dominator performance, which we'd use at some of the standard tracks, but at the drafting tracks, because everything is so random, you kind of just want to look at their average running position. Where are they running in the pack on average? And that'll give you a good idea if they're more likely to finish further forward or finish further backward, because predicting the finish here is next to impossible. You just want to try to do good enough. You know what I mean? So that's the data I tend to look at.
Nick Giffen of Action Network joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. And a question that was at least top of my mind going into the Daytona 500 was, will either of the Kyles finally get the win here? Kyle Larson, 16-1 before those odds went off the board. Defending Cup Series champ, but has struggled at Daytona. Zero top five finishes in his career here. And then our guy here in Vegas, and I see you with the Golden Knights hat on, so Vegas tie here, our guy from the 702, 0-20 career at the Daytona 500, but he won the pole Wednesday night. He's come close a couple of times. Could he be in contention? Could this be the year?
It really could be the year for Kyle Busch. I think Kyle Larson, he has been improving at these drafting tracks, but he still has never yet to be the guy. Whereas in the past, Kyle Busch has been the guy at drafting tracks, whether it's Talladega or the summer Daytona race, but he's just never won the spring Daytona race, the Daytona 500. It hasn't worked out, but he's starting from the best spot possible, right on pole, number one spot. So if there's ever a year that he could do it, you know, it'll be like the late Dale Earnhardt, where he won it after his 20th try. Kyle Busch is trying to accomplish that feat as well and win it for the first time. And I think it'd be a very popular win across the industry and certainly a popular win for the Vegas folk as well.
All right, like you mentioned, you can bet on other things like top cars, top Toyota. Do you have a bet here in that market?
Yeah, I really like a driver named John Hunter Nemechek to finish as the top Toyota. I've seen him around 17 or 18-1. So look for that when odds start to repopulate. John Hunter Nemechek actually has the best average finish in Daytona 500 history for drivers with at least three Daytona 500 starts. He's finished 5th, 7th, and 11th. And out of 11 cars, you know, that means if every driver were to have an equal chance of being the top Toyota, then they would all have fair odds at plus 1,000, 10-1, right? So this is a highly random race, so they all should be centered around that number. And John Hunter Nemechek has proven he should be right around that average number, if not a little bit better than average, based off his drafting track history. So 17, 18-1, too long there for JHN.
How about any of the other derivative markets? Top three, top 10, anything like that that you added to your card?
Absolutely. As far as Ryan Preece goes, I laddered top 10, top five, top three. But also, I really like three drivers that drive for Front Row Motorsports: Todd Gilliland, Noah Gregson, and Zane Smith. And these three drivers, like I said, they race for the same team, but that team, Front Row Motorsports, has a technical alliance with Team Penske, which is Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, you know, the biggest names in the sport, NASCAR champions. When you have a technical alliance with the biggest names in the sport, you're getting their secrets. So they run really well at Super Speedways, Front Row Motorsports does. So look for those three drivers to get at least one of them into the top 10. All three of them you can find at 4-1 or longer. And all you need to do is hit one of the three to be profitable. And there's a chance two or three of them could finish inside the top 10. So I really like the Fords here. You're sensing a theme with Ryan Preece and the Ford, the Penske's Ford, and Front Row Motorsports Ford. I think Ford to win is another nice derivative market. You can get it like plus 170 to win the Daytona 500. So definitely like those Front Row Motorsports guys.
We've mentioned practice a couple of times here in that the odds are off the board. How impactful will these practice runs be in terms of their impact on the odds once they're back up?
Absolutely nothing. They will have no impact because Super Speedway practice is its own beast. What they're really trying to do in practice is just get a feel for the car in the draft. They're not trying to prove they have the ultimate speed because you can't pull away from the pack at Super Speedway races. You will be stuck in the pack. So they're just working on getting the handling of their car. So practice data becomes useless as far as lap times and things like that.
I'm curious then, why pull off the odds during practice if they're useless? Is it just maybe could there be a wreck and a guy loses out on the field? Like, what would be the purpose of pulling them if the practice is useless in terms of the odds?
Yeah, there could be a wreck, and that would certainly change things. Okay. But also, it is just kind of standard practice, no pun intended there, because at all the other tracks, practice is massively important towards handicapping the race. So I think it's just a standard practice across the industry there, whether it's NASCAR or IndyCars or Formula One, the odds tend to come down during these practice sessions.
Last thing before I let you go, another driver I wanted to ask about, Brad Keselowski, broke his femur like a month ago. He's walking around with a cane that's got like sponsorship stickers all over it, by the way, but he's actually racing in this thing. Did that surprise you? And then to see him at an 18-1 shot, did that surprise you maybe even more?
It doesn't surprise me. Brad Keselowski is a tough son of a gun. He actually broke his ankle back in 2012 and came back the very next race and won. So, you know, he could do it again. I think a broken femur is certainly a little more of a impactful injury, but I mean, he just went out in his dual qualifying race last night where, you know, we had mini races to set the starting order. And he was running top three, top four the whole race. So especially at a track like Daytona where you just lay your foot on the gas pedal and you pretty much don't move off of doing that. You don't need to use the brakes really unless there's a crash happening in front of you. He should be just fine.
Wild. Nick, thank you so much for the time and enjoy Daytona 500 weekend. Let's go.
Oh, I'm so excited for it. Like I said, Super Bowl of the year. Yep. And then we get into the meat of the NASCAR seasons, a lot more predictable races after this one.
No doubt about it. Nick Giffen, everybody, doing a great job over there at Action Network. Again, make sure you check out the Running Hot and Stacking Denny's podcast wherever you get your podcast. Did you see the Keselowski story that he's on a like family ski trip? He's dropping his daughter off to go skiing and slips on ice and broken femur. Wow. Boom. But 18-1 shot for the Daytona 500. We'll see if he can get it done. Okay, we got to step aside when we come back, diving into a little baseball as we continue our Play Ball previews. Colorado Rockies on deck next. Intro was probably a little bit more exciting than the Colorado Rockies will be in 2026. Welcome back to Follow the Money. Story by Tony, Jonathan Von Tobel with you live at downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. SiriusXM Channel 158, continuing to roll through our MLB previews. We're going one game at a time, one team at a time, rather, every single day until we get through all 30. And we are on the Rockies today, who have yet another brutal win total this season, JBT.
Yeah, they do. 52.5 for Colorado. Very much chasing how to put together a pitching staff, which has always eluded them for a very long time here. And they're trying it at the very least by adding some bodies here in the rotation that might make it a little bit better. Michael Lorenzen gets signed. If you look at it, Tomoyuki Sugano, Jose Quintana, all part of this. So you have a bunch of these guys, Freeland still here too. So you have four in the rotation that'll make that up. The question is who fills in the back end in that fifth? Chase Dolander, who made his MLB debut, in April last year. He was at times great, at times not. So what you're looking at, and they retooled the staff as well to kind of get this pitching back in order. But you play out there in Colorado, as you mentioned a ton of times. You do wonder if this is just going to continue to be an Achilles heel for a team that doesn't really have a ton of burgeoning talent that you're really excited for at this point right now. And it's hard to look at them and say, yeah, like this is a team that we really want to back from a future standpoint and ask them, hey, you can get this done from the standpoint of going over your win total, pushing for 60 wins, not something that I think seems like it's in the cards at this point.
I know, like every organization, you're trying to take steps in the right direction. I just feel like this is just another year in the attempt at a rebuild. They have the whole overhaul from the front office, behind the scenes type of thing. Looking at their pitching staff from last year, one of the worst ERAs in Major League Baseball history. So, I mean, at least it feels like anything is up from there from that standpoint, no?
I mean, yeah, I think that the problem is, you know, again, what you looked at with the staff, but also the offense. How much better is it going to get? I mean, it's hard to be worse than worst. It's impossible. And so the Colorado's last year's 30th in weighted runs created plus as an offense. So how much better is this offense going to be to give this pitching staff some sort of support, because it is going to struggle? Maybe you get guys like Lorenzen and Quintana to give you some performances and a little bit more hope on some of these road trips that you're going to be on. But for the most part, as you look at this staff overall and the bullpen too, you do wonder what exactly this is going to be other than one of the worst, you know, 5-10 pitching staffs that you're going to see in Major League Baseball.
So with that, as you look through, and we'll throw those odds back on the screen, there are a handful of different ways that you can buy in on this team or fade them, depending on the angle that you want to play. I know one thing we were looking at as it pertained to, I think it was the Nationals when we were discussing it, was the division finishing position. Is that something that you might want to look at all? Because I highly doubt the minus, what is that, 20,000 that you're going to want to lay for them to come in last. But are there, could they maybe beat somebody in the division, or are there other ways that you would want to play this?
No, I mean, that's part of the issue too with playing with the Colorado Rockies. It's not even, not even that, in terms of how poor the team is, what you're looking at for all of the flaws with this roster. Look at the division they play in with Arizona, Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco. We just talked a little bit with Jensen about San Francisco and his belief in the Giants and what they can be. We know what the Dodgers are. Padres are as adequate. Arizona could be something. So you look around as well, when a majority of your games are being played against your division foes, and you're talking about getting knocked around there with a roster that is in the state that theirs is, I don't think there's a scenario in which they're not last.
Like, everything odds-wise is just laughable for Colorado. I feel bad.
Yeah.
Even their longest win streak is plus 155 to have 5 wins in a row at any point this season.
Yeah, like we talked about Chicago yesterday, the White Sox, and the fact that, you know, playing them to finish fourth and maybe ahead of Minnesota is something that could happen, and obviously the odds reflect that. There is a reason here. I mean, there is such a chasm between Colorado and the rest of the NL West that there's really, I don't think, any reality outside of all four teams being abolished and them just putting in the Colorado Rockies as the only team in the NOS in which they're going to get past fifth.
To have the longest losing streak in baseball this year, plus 170, the price, their longest losing streak, you can bet how many games that would be, over or under 11.5 losses, plus 150 to the over, minus 180 to the under. I'm not even going to tell you to have the longest win streak.
Well, so the number's 4.5. It's interesting you say that. You know, there is a time, you see last year, they had that stretch in the middle of August, because that was the one that stuck out to me. They had that stretch in the middle of August where they had won 4 straight games. And remember, I think it was around the time that we were talking with our pal Nate Kreckman out there in Colorado, that they had won 7 out of 9. Baseball's a weird sport. Ask them to win 5 straight games. I mean, out of all the positive things you can ask the Rockies to do, that might be something that you look at. Now, they didn't achieve it. They had 2 different 4-game winning streaks yet last year, so that's got to be something that is going to change from a season ago. But 4.5, that was the only thing that I kind of looked at. Like, you know, you just catch it right in baseball, and you get hot for a little bit. You get the right rotation of guys to come up against when you're talking about teams that you're playing, some of the injuries that take shape throughout the year. I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world to look at it. But again, they did not do it last year. 2 winning streaks of 4, but nothing over that.
Couldn't get over the 4.5. Anything else you're dying to get to here on the Rockies, or do you want to switch to some of the college hoops games that we have coming up tomorrow?
I think the only thing that we're dying to get to with the Rockies is the end of the season.
Oh, man, you can't say that before it even starts. What if they could get some spring training, good stuff from the prospects? Do you bet spring training?
No, not at all. I'm okay. I mean, I know it's a lot of information and all that. I do not.
It's just too much to dive into at that point. That's
and we should know, too, with Chris Bryant as well, with the 60-day IL, he's got back problems. So even then, the rotation gets a weak rotation. Wait, rotation. Lineup gets weaker. It's just, it's a nightmare right now for this team.
Okay, we talked about it a little bit earlier when we were going through today's college basketball games, but we've got a great Saturday card ahead coming up tomorrow. The Belle of the Ball, that number 6-ranked Kansas at Iowa State, number 9-ranked Kansas. Iowa State laying 6.5 there in Ames, total 144.5. The Darren Peterson experience, always going to be a question when it comes to the Jayhawks, it seems
right
now.
He's going to play, according to reports. He's going to play. Good to go.
Well, we'll see once we get to warmups.
I mean, yeah, I think that's a fair criticism of what he has been in terms of availability.
Do you think that this impacts him NBA wise? I know that's been a conversation, but you.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, there are some talking heads that have been kind of like out on him all of a sudden.
Yeah. That's shocking. The talking heads would be like that or be hyperbolic about any sort of thing. But no, I don't think that's going to be the case. Look, this game's going to be interesting. We just talked about this from a revenge angle just a couple of minutes ago. When you look at these teams and the way that these kind of get inflated, we were talking about it in the sense of Boise State and UNLV, that the fact that the market kind of jumps on some of these teams looking for revenge in a rematch of a conference spot. And this is, again, what we're talking about here. Iowa State looking for vengeance in a loss that they had suffered to Kansas earlier in the season. We're looking at 6.5 right now. Total's 144.5. We'll see how the market goes. On its surface, it seems a little high. Kansas have been playing extremely well. We know this team. I guess there's an argument to be made that some would start to make, Stormy, which is they're playing better without Darren Peterson. But look, they've won games with him. They won games without him. I don't really think that that would be the case entirely. I think this is more about Iowa State and their offense. Coming off of the loss to TCU, the bounce back spot here, one of the things that has bothered me about Iowa State this year and under TJ Altsenberger as a whole, when they are not turning the ball over and getting out in transition, at times the half-court offense can be pretty poor. So that is something that I think could really bother you when you talk about playing a Kansas team that does play very well on the defensive end. 9th best in the country in defensive efficiency, one of the top 5 teams in defensive efficiency in the Big 12, and I still think you have some of that here. So if all of a sudden, because you look at the losses for Iowa State, common thread has been the offense has just fallen off a cliff, including against TCU last time out, where they averaged, I think it was about 0.8 points per possession. That to me gives me a little pause when you look at this. You're going to be able to force enough turnovers here. And with Peterson there, it's another ball handler that helps you out in terms of not turning the ball over as much. So if the market starts to get up here in favor of Iowa State, we're talking like 7, 7.5, I think it would be Kansas.
And again, to your point, though, like Kansas being able to get that win against Arizona at home without Darren Peterson shows kind of the direction that this Jayhawks team is moving in. Speaking of the Arizona Wildcats, they're hosting Texas Tech this weekend, and it's a pretty big number, laying 9.5 against the Red Raiders, total 155.5. Do we think perhaps maybe a little bit too big? I know just you're in a bounce back spot coming off of a loss, want to kind of reestablish who you are, especially being at home. But Texas Tech, despite a couple faults and tough losses that they have taken, a very formidable team, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you saw them. You know them a little bit more up close.
I saw them beat Houston.
I was going to say, since you've had that game, you've kind of gotten along with Texas Tech here. You've been a big fan.
I have. But we were looking at Arizona's schedule and just would that Kansas game potentially be the first of a couple spots that you can get tripped up on. I still am shocked at how many points Texas Tech scored on Houston in that game when I had them in Lubbock. But that said, when they have all of their pieces, when JT Toppin and Christian Anderson, when those guys are cooking, I feel like it can be a tough game. I know it's on the road against the number one ranked team in the country, what can you take away from wins most recently against West Virginia and a blowout win over Colorado? Probably not a lot. But if this is a team that is really going to try to show that there's something in the tournament, this is a massive opportunity for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So at least my gut, I lean +9.5, but I don't have a play yet.
I think the other one that we were talking about this is what does Clemson have in store? Because you fell flat on your face in the look ahead, as we had talked about earlier in the week. Now you're on the road against Duke, 12.5 to the spread with a total of 133.5. And what the market wants to do with this game after Clemson loses that last time out is going to be really interesting as a sizable favorite against Virginia Tech. Still lean a little bit toward Duke. Clemson offensively has they're good defensively. They're pretty average at times on offense.
Here was I was thinking you were going to talk about your boys, Florida Gators.
Oh, Florida Gators.
Going against Kentucky, laying a big number, 11.5.
They are indeed. I just need them to keep winning. I don't really care about spreads. Just keep winning and make a run.
And win when it really counts.
Yeah.
Come tournament time. Okay, we got to step aside. When we come back, we're closing things out. This show has gone by quickly. In Pocket Plays after this on Follow the Money. We'll be right back.
you know if the quarterback was on coke, if his girlfriend was not up?
These games are a burial, a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's, unborn children's children on these games!
I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country.
All right, one dub for me yesterday. The Los Angeles Lakers, -6.5, beating up on a bad team as usual, Stormy. And they get the Dallas Mavericks number. Not a surprise. We've talked about this for a really long time. Lakers are the ultimate front runners. They stink. They might be the worst franchise in the National Basketball Association. A bunch of frauds, and anybody who roots for them are just front runners themselves who know nothing about building character through following real teams like the Los Angeles Club. I'm sorry. Lakers, -6.5, a winner.
That was a fun tangent to go on there a little bit.
That's it from yesterday for the weekend. Just one thing. Let's go with Con Knipple to win the three-point contest at +300.
I might, not an official play, I might tail you on that just for fun, just to have yet another Hornet sweat for us come All-Star weekend. Did you have any interest in getting involved in anything else, or was it three-point contest the only thing for you?
Three-point contest, and that is it, and I will not watch a second of the All-Star game. Is it on Sunday?
Really? Or
is it,
yeah, All-Star Sunday, game right? Sunday, yep. But there's like little trickle out every day. Will you still watch the dunk contest at least? Or you're you're our senior NBA betting
analyst.
What's
there to analyze?
There's numbers out there, man. I counted on you.
And then
for
please,
this.
Please count me on this, okay? Because this is what we're gonna do. Watch, this is for the record. And then on Monday, everybody's gonna come in like, "Ugh, that stunk." Yes, it sucks. Who cares? Don't watch it. It's one of the most useless games in the world. It's the same thing with every single All-Star game. And I'm willing to bet it'll probably be covered here. No one cares. I love basketball. Nobody cares.
Yeah. Let's just accept there's no saving it at this point.
There's no saving any of these.
No.
Hockey was playing. It's like 3-on-3 tournaments.
I know it's stupid, and we don't need to go down this rabbit hole, but I do still think, like, the MLB All-Star Game and Home Run Derby and their Celebrity Game, like, I still find that fun. I watch All-Star Weekend and Major League Baseball.
There's no shot you watch the Celebrity Game.
It's fun.
There's no shot.
I always have it up on the background.
Okay, well, having it up in the background is way different than watching this.
I am a part of their Nielsen rating.
Aren't you also going out tomorrow?
I didn't mean celebrity for NBA.
Oh, okay.
I said MLB, buddy.
Oh, okay.
However, and no, I'm going out tonight, not tomorrow.
Let's see.
Get it down. We're going to the Sphere tonight, baby. Backstreet Boys. As for me today, so both of the hockey plays ended up coming through, which was nice. Italy, we thought it was going to be a sweat. I knew it was going to be an uncomfortable game all throughout. We somehow get there. The Italians +7 against Team USA. The Americans came out with a vengeance in the second period. With a 5-goal second. But the Italians, give them credit. They skated so hard in the final frame, did not give them anything else. 6-0 final. So you cashed your in-game -5.5. I cashed my +7. Also, the Canadian men on the puck line laying 2.5, -135. That comes through easily. 5-1 final against Switzerland. Meanwhile, we've got a handful of pending plays as well. Whether it be, almost all of them in hockey, but some golf as well that we're sweating out. Rasmus Dahlin over 4.5 tournament points. We are one away, ladies and gentlemen. The lone goal for the Swedes in their 4-1 loss to Finland overnight got us to 4 points in 2 games. I mentioned Finland getting that win. Critical for my Group B bet that is somehow still alive here at +140. Slovakia with a 2-0 advantage in the standings right now. It's 16-1 shot. Sweden, who was your favorite, has not been playing nearly as well as we anticipated that they would. So this thing could ultimately come down to a tiebreaker goal differential situation. So go Finland. I'm about it. Czech Republic to medal. They bounced back, got a win this morning. Not anything. I don't love the Czech Republic based on what I've seen. Big picture from them so far. 4-1. That's betting though. Canada to win gold. I did add that earlier this morning here at Circa. +114 that price. The more I watch this team, the more I think that they're just going to dominate when all is said and done. USA and Canada, collision course for the final. And I just don't think that, I mean, I know that you're not going to get a better number than this on Canada leading up until that. In the golf, sweating out top 10, top 20 on Russell Henley, top 20 on Victor Hovland. In the soccer, because I liked our guest plays yesterday, just rolling with it. Inter versus Juventus, over 2.5 goals coming up this weekend. Coventry and Middlesbrough, over 2.5 as well. And then tonight, what are we adding? College basketball. I tried to correct myself and I said it the same way. We're just moving on. St. Louis versus half team total, over 42.5. They are a dominant offensive team for what their schedule has been, taking on a really, really bad team in Loyola Chicago today. I didn't want to lay 17.5, 18.5, any of that, but knowing how effective they are at producing points, we gave out all of the analytical numbers on what they've been able to do offensively, field goal percentage, all of that, the rebounding numbers, the pace of play that they play at as well. I know 42.5 is a really big first half number, but I think we get there against Loyola Chicago. And Michigan State just feels like the side to me, -1.5 at Wisconsin. Letdown spot for Wisconsin, even though Michigan State most recently had an overtime win over that Illinois team themselves. They've had a lot of time to prepare for this thing. That game was last Saturday. They're so good defensively, even on the road. I think that shows up. So Michigan State, -1.5 at Wisconsin tonight. And even though football season is over, everybody, the betting calendar, as we know, is just heating up, as evidenced by how many plays I just had on that card. March Madness around the corner, MLB season fast approaching. Now's the perfect time to bet smarter with VSiN Pro. You can sign up today. Get all of our best bets from the VSiN show hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa bet splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video, and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app. Plus, all of our betting guides, that MLB betting guide, will be here in just 4 days, dropping February 17th. You can get started today here at VSiN for just $9.99 or save an additional 50% with an annual subscription so you get unlimited access all year long. Don't miss the best stretch of the betting year. VSiN.com/subscribe is how you can get started. Again, that's VSIN.com/subscribe.
Earlier today, so you can take a breath, I got a tweet from Main Street Mark who asked me who wins the NBA All-Star MVP. I will let Main Street Mark in on my highly secret, I'll tell everybody about this, highly effective way to handicap All-Star MVP.
Okay, what's the word?
I like to cover my eyes.
I thought you were going
to... And I like to just point at the pictures of all the guys who are playing and then bet that guy to win MVP.
I thought you were going to say throwing darts, but so similar concept.
Pretty much, yeah. I got nothing on that.
Nothing. Victor Wembanyama, your favorite, which...
I guess they tend to lean toward giving it to, like, the young up-and-comers at times. So let's see. Yeah, give it to him. He shows out. They allow him to win it. Vote for him. Maybe that's what you look for.
So he's, what, +425, Tyrese Maxey, 12-1. Scott, I mean, then it just gets kind of... Oh, these are really out of order. That's weird. My screen is like jumbled right now. So he's +425. Tyrese Maxey 12-1. LeBron 12-1. Kevin Durant 14-1. Jaylen Brown 10-1. Nobody else interest you?
Just... Not really. I don't know why you would handicap the All Star.
So
you're
on Con Knipple though for the 3-point competition.
Correct.
Is there another name that you think would be worthwhile for a bet?
I mean, you can look at a couple of the guys that are on there. Jamal Murray's playing relatively well. It's just, if you look at the field as a whole, there's not a lot of, outside of Damian Lillard, if he was at full strength, that you're feeling, like, really confident about. I guess Tyrese Maxey could be one of them as well. But as we talked about, like, the jump shot, Knipple's just got such a good, compact, and easy jump shot. He's not really jumping high. He's not putting a lot of force into it. Norm Powell's got a pretty strong jump shot that I think he'll just wear him down as he goes along, so... That's why I feel kind of comfortable with just saying, 3-1, Con Knipple. Let's see what we got, and let's see if we can get him into the winner's circle.
Okay. Looking at the Pebble Beach leaderboard, where things sit right now, Ryo Hisatsune back in the lead. 5-under for round two, 15-under total for the tournament, tied with who is that tied with? Yeah, Akshay Bhatia. Sorry. Something is wrong with my computer. I told you this earlier today. I was on our meeting, because we have a Friday meeting every week here at VSiN.
So was I.
Sure you were. I was on the Google Meet, and then my computer just, like, the thing froze, and so I thought that maybe the internet was just going weird or whatever, and then my whole computer just turned off. And then I've had a couple issues with just the way that things are jumbled up. I thought it was a DraftKings thing, but everything is just all over the place, so I don't know what's going on. Maybe this is why real relationships are important, and you can't choose your computer or choose AI over your spouse, like so many people are trying to decide to do these days.
Some people are lonely, Stormy.
So an AI fake person is the way to fill that void?
Yeah, some people are lonely. Some people also can't hold the conversation, which is like a whole nother topic.
I mean, I struggle with that on this show in particular.
That's very true. But I just mean like a normal societal conversation, you know?
Sure.
Being able to charm, to talk. Those are things that people struggle with.
What I don't like with the whole AI thing is the using it as your therapist. I think that's like a dangerous road to go down too, no?
I mean, in the last 45 seconds of this program on a Friday of a sports betting program, you would like me to expound upon the dangers of using artificial intelligence to use it as emotional support?
I went down a road, okay?
I unfortunately do not have the time to break this down.
Anyways, Rio still tied at the top with Akshay Bhatia, Sam Burns, and Ricky Fowler, T3, where things sit right now, 14 under for the tournament. And I have a lot of work to do on some of these top 10s I'm trying to get home. So prayers up for your girl. That was fun. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us, listening, watching. We will be back on Follow the Money Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week as well. Whoa. Good luck with the plays this weekend, though. Enjoy and stay tuned after this. VSiN Primetime with Scott Seidenberg, as well as the Sports Gambling Podcast later on this evening. Have a great day.